Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Delay on
today. Yes, you really cranked up those milliseconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The 4-bar delay.
It is Free Talk Live. It is Sunday. And the telephone number, if you would like to call in and join the conversation tonight, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. Let's see. Captain's log, star date 10292023. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will.
Steve Classic.
And Nikki, if you will.
I will.
Okay,
tune in. At least for tonight, anyway.
Please do.
Yeah, maybe I start calling you something else after tonight. I don't know. We'll try and invent a new nickname for you tonight. Right? Callers, do you want
a new nickname for Nikki?
A new nickname for Nikki? Yeah,
new Nikki name.
Is that even...
Who came up? Somebody came up with Nikki Moonshine?
That was me.
That was Major Payne or somebody.
Oh, but...
I feel like that might have been...
I thought it was me, but maybe I'm taking credit for somebody else's invention.
Maybe.
But I only made that up for you because you brought in that clear jug.
My jar of moonshine.
that I'm, you know, you're telling the listeners it was water, but I don't know.
Like, water.
It's water. Wink, wink,
this is
nudge,
fun
nudge.
Fun water.
Tune into the third hour. Call Nikki with a question.
Let
me tell you something.
Oh, wow, she's really throwing back that moonshine. Oh, my gosh.
The quart jar.
But still. Get it? Still? Moonshine? Still?
Still.
Yeah. I got butt in there, too.
But
still. Whoa, that's weird.
But
I have a... I don't know if it's because I've been saying the word still or something, but like I've been advertised now to on the social media where they sell these stovetop stills.
Oh, I have one.
Right? And they sell them for the purpose of... You know, I don't know, sterilizing your water. Do you have bad home water?
Make your own distilled water.
And it's like, that's like selling.
Cheers.
That's like selling a bong as a tobacco pipe.
Yeah.
Right? These devices are for tobacco use only.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody uses them for tobacco.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anyone, like, put tobacco in a water bong and smoke it? I have never seen this.
No.
Unless they're doing, like, a spliff sort of deal where they mix it with weed, but imagine how gross that is. Just straight tobacco in a bong rip?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
that is disgusting.
Yeah,
oh, gosh.
So.
For entertainment purposes only.
So, yeah, I'm certain that these stovetop stills are selling because people want to purify their water.
Right.
Yeah.
You need pure water.
The vases you buy at the gas station, you're like, vase? That looks a lot like a crack pipe.
Vase.
There's this.
This is a really small vase.
There's this either liquor or liqueur. I'm not sure what it is. I've never drank it, but it's called Galliano.
Oh, it's yellow.
And it comes in this bottle where the base of the bottle is wide, and it just gets taller
and
thinner as it goes up. And a friend of mine made a bong out of it.
Really?
And it was the most difficult bong because all the smoke would gather at the bottom, and then as you're trying to pull the slide or whatever, you have to pull all this big thing of smoke through a very small tube. So, like, your lungs get filled up, like, faster somehow, and you can't clear it because it thins up instead of widens out. So it's poor design.
I've never had Galliano.
It looked good. I've never had Galliano either except for, smoking out of the Galliano.
Yeah, right.
You know, so...
Anyone who's had Galliano, please call in with a...
If you tell describe us what it is taste. And why we would ever want to
that
try
yellow
it.
Liquid.
Oh, boy. I think I said 603-283-6160, but if I didn't, let me say it now, 603-283-6160, if you want to join us tonight. We've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. I've got stuff left over from yesterday that we never got to. I know we've at least one, if not two, number two stories tonight that we could choose from.
That's
so
big.
So we'll figure that out as the night goes on. But we at least have one, that's for sure.
Well, if you read the title of each of the number two stories, maybe we can get some kind of an online vote. Or we could all just raise our hands here.
I think I'd rather take a host's vote.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah.
You are the captain.
Like during the break or whatever.
Right. We'll discuss.
And that kind of a thing. So, but then, of course, specifically, I asked Richie Rich to continue chumming the host's chat that we have going on with,
it's great,
with content for Sunday, because he's always, surfing the web. He's got a day job where he's online all the time.
Right.
And so he just, happens upon these things. So he's just chumming that thing full of zany, tabloid-esque, freedom-oriented stuff.
He's the Free Talk Live news aggregator for the show.
I would be inclined to call him the Sunday co-producer.
Oh,
right?
All right.
Because he's not here.
Right.
Right? But he still has an effect on the Sunday show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm okay with that. But, of course, we've got Steve Klancik and Nikki in here tonight with me. And this is the, we'll call it the Klancik lineup.
Hey!
All right. Klancik is here.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
I want to lead tonight with this very bizarre sounding story. I have not read this in advance like I usually do, so we're going to...
Oh, that's always the best, though. I love that. A good surprise.
We're going to straight wing it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
This from APnews.com. First ever Florida Man Games will feature beer belly wrestling and evading arrest obstacle course.
That's awesome.
Man.
First ever Florida Man Games will feature beer belly wrestling. Now, I have a beer belly, but I've never employed it to wrestle with. I don't know what that means. What is that? Like, there have been times where, like, me and my bros were drinking beer, watching a game or something, right? And you do, like, the belly bump.
Yeah, bull moose.
You do that, like, in a celebration, whatever kind of a thing. But I don't know what beer belly wrestling is, so we'll have to find that out if the article tells us.
Okay.
But I'm most interested in the evading arrest obstacle.
Yeah, which you've also never done.
Yeah. Evaded arrest.
It's like, you're at a party when you're in high school in the woods,
and
cops show up.
You're out of there.
And then you're like, you're running through the woods, dodging trees, jumping over stumps, jumping off of a rock.
Okay, so...
Like, I made it to the house.
I have actually done the evading arrest obstacle course.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't an obstacle course, it was actually evading arrest in frickin' grade school, right?
Wow. So,
like
that's
eighth grade.
That's impressive.
So, like, eighth grade, they're having some sort of a, I don't know, like, I think it was like a dance or whatever, how these grade school things, they're like, oh, yeah, it's the end of your dance or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so you go just to hang out with all your friends and see what kind of trouble you can get into.
Yeah.
And so it was in, like, a church or something like that. And so we figured out real quick how to, like, sort of hide out in, like, one of the back hallways where they'd, like, receive all their shipments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so we're smoking weed back there.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. In eighth grade.
Wow.
I brought some of these airplane bottles of booze, right? Just random selection.
Oh, little nips.
Right? And so I was selling / drinking those, right? And so...
Businessman.
An entrepreneurial spirit.
Right.
Can I say?
Right.
I'm not the first libertarian type to have an entrepreneurial spirit.
And you were doing it without a permit.
I was totally doing it without a permit. And also,
Jesus would be proud.
And it was totally illegal too. And I'm underage.
Yeah.
I'm serving underage people. I'm smoking marijuana, which was illegal at the time.
Yep.
And that kind of thing. And so somebody, like, ratted me out somehow, right? Apparently I was the only one who, was apt enough to get booze to supply these very thirsty eighth graders.
Yeah.
Right.
You're welcome.
That was premeditated.
And so I like go outside because I'm smoking a cigarette. I was smoking cigarettes in the
evening. Wow.
I go outside to smoke a cigarette and I see these cops come up like to the front door. Now I'm around the back under the side and I started hearing them ask for me by name.
Whoa.
And I'm like, oh boy. I put the cigarette out And I started just meandering away from the building, right, into the public street or whatever. And I hear somebody go, oh, I think that's him over there. And, like, the two cops, there's two of them, they turned around, they looked at me, and they're like, that guy? And the guy's like, yeah, that guy. I don't know who it was. And so they start running. And so I start running, right? Now, I'm young at this time.
You get out on those guys.
And these guys are old and, yep. Well, speaking of beer bellies,
yeah,
right? And these are small-town cops, right? They're not going to run very far. But right. I ended up running down the road a couple of blocks, and then I took a right, and I went, like, three houses up, and then I ducked into the backyard of what was then my friend Pete's house, mm-hmm. right, where his mom was or whatever, right? And I didn't know if they were home or not. I just knew the property well enough that I could, like... So I basically took two rights as I was running away from these guys. They only saw me take one, and so I hid behind, like, a shed or whatever, and I seen them continue go past, right? And so as soon as they go past far enough, I walk out. There's a public trash can near the church or whatever. I start dumping out all my stuff into the trash can, and I go back to the dance.
Wow, to the scene of the crime.
To the scene of the crime, and then I show up, and I go back in through that side door where we're all hanging out, and I go back in as if I were inside the whole time.
Right.
And so then the cops finally come back. They're like, oh, we lost him or whatever. And they come back, and somebody, one of the chaperones, the teachers, whoever
here
it was,
he is.
They're like, hey, were you looking for this guy? I'm like, hey, what's going on, guys? I heard you're looking for me. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, well, we need to search you and blah, blah, blah. We heard blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, I don't have nothing on me. I've been here the whole time. I don't know why nobody could find me.
What's going on?
And so nothing happened.
That's fine.
I totally evaded arrest.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you could qualify for the Florida man.
I did.
Well, you were in Florida.
I did lose out on the inventory, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty lame.
But I was like, better to ditch the inventory than to get busted.
Yeah, cut your losses.
You know? So, yeah, perhaps this would qualify you for the Florida Man Games. We don't know.
Right.
Let's find out.
At least good training.
St. Augustine, Florida. I don't know where that is.
St. Augustine.
Oh, Florida. Thanks. Yeah. Somewhere in Florida?
It's in St. Augustine, Florida.
It ain't the Olympics, but a group of Floridians plan to host competitions themed according to the collective antics of the beer-loving, gator-possessing, rap sheet-heavy, mullet-wearing social media phenomenon known as Florida Man.
Florida Man, Florida Man.
I didn't realize Florida Man had become such a meme.
Yeah, news stories. There's probably a website.
That's a lot of descriptive words for, well, one man.
Yeah.
One man.
He was one man. He had one desire, to win the Florida Man Games. Organizers of the Florida Man Games describe the competition as the most insane athletic showdown on Earth.
Wow. That's intense.
The games will poke fun at Florida's reputation for producing strange news stories involving guns, drugs, booze, and reptiles, or some combination of the four.
This is like my favorite things.
So far, I see no downside.
Yeah, right. Sounds great.
Among the contests planned for next February in St. Augustine, Florida, according to organizers, are the Evading Arrest Obstacle Course, in which contestants jump over fences, I didn't do any of that, and through yards, I did do that,
yeah,
while being chased by real police officers.
Whoa, you could qualify.
The Category 5 cash grab, in which participants try to grab as much money in a wind-blowing booth. We've seen that.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
And the self-explanatory beer belly wrestling. How is that self-explanatory, author?
AP. I don't know. Beer belly wrestling. It's like sumo wrestling.
Like, do you got to tie your hands behind your back and just wrestle with the belly somehow? Or,
Is there pudding involved or jello?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like soccer. You can't use your hands. You just have to, like, wrestle with your belly.
Most importantly, is there beer involved?
For Florida games, I'm sure Florida Man games.
You can call something a beer belly, but if there's no beer involved, is it really a beer belly?
Probably, if there's no beer in there, is it a beer belly?
Exactly.
I mean, you got to fill it up.
One would think.
I would say they'd probably have to drink a whole bunch of, beer and then do the wrestling.
And then wrestle?
Yeah.
Drunken wrestling? Yep. Is really all it is?
I think, yeah. And then if you win that competition, then you go on to drink another six-pack to wrestle the next guy.
I want to come back to this, but we do have some callers on hold. Let's go to this unscreened caller. What's your name, please?
My name is Tom, and I live in New Hampshire. And I was thinking about that dude Robert Card out there in Lewiston, Maine, that real bad dude that committed non-principle violations by going out and killing innocent people that didn't deserve it.
Oh, we're talking about the main shooter.
The shooter, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's hard to get into the minds of somebody like that. I suppose if you could go, been to college and learned and done enough research into the minds of somebody like that, then maybe you could be qualified as a cardiologist. But I was just thinking.
Wasn't his last name Card? Cardiologist? I'm not getting it. Is there a joke in there?
No, I'm making a pun. But anyway, the thing is.
I totally missed it.
Yeah, I was like, that's the heart.
Card?
It might have turned out better if somebody had talked some sense to him about you don't want to go out and attack anything other than the police forces of the hostile government.
I mean,
and then maybe we would have gone out and killed random cops.
I don't know if that's a better idea. I always get weary of these sort of mass shooter things. You know, well, this guy, I guess he was, you know, recently in some sort of mental hospital, or he was having homicidal ideations before, like they knew this guy was already thinking in this direction.
Right,
But I always get curious, like, is this guy being coached by FBI agents?
MK Ultra?
Yeah, some MK Ultra stuff. I know some theories are like the SSRIs and other forms of antidepressants can sometimes give people homicidal ideations and, you know, increase suicidal thoughts and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's right on the package insert.
It is.
If you look at
Zoloft,
the package, like, you know, what is it? The mRNA shot had no information. Well, the Zoloft, if you look at all the information on that.
Yeah, there's a ton of
spells
side effects.
Spells it right out.
What's that sound?
Isn't it kind of like homicidal ideation or suicidal ideation? If they use that as an excuse for, like, locking somebody in a mental institution and drugging them, isn't that kind of even worse than George Orwell's thought police? Because you're not just being locked up, you're being locked up and drugged.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happened to one dude down in Virginia there, on 14 December 2005, he got locked up and drugged because he was having no luck getting dates. And so he was having a bad day that way, and he wound up getting locked up and drugged in. Maybe, arguably, they saved his life, but it probably wasn't worth it considering how much he appreciated it on 16 April 2007 when he shot up Virginia Tech at where the body count stands at 33. I mean, somebody should have explained to him, look, these innocent people on the campus aren't the ones that forced you into a vehicle and took you to a mental institution. Cops did that. You know, and if this is the law in Virginia, then, I mean, if he had gone out and killed cops, that would have punished the Commonwealth of Virginia for violating his rights.
I mean, I don't think that violence is ever the answer, even though those people did harm him. Like, to me, that goes beyond acting in self-defense at that point. That's like retaliation almost.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think that is, you know, an ethical thing to do or definitely not a good idea, because then obviously you're just going to wind up life in prison or murdered on the street.
Well, if you get killed by enemy fire in combat on the battlefield, then that's not suicide. So, you know, then Thomas Jefferson said, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. So, you know, you go straight to heaven if you get killed by enemy fire in combat on the battlefield, if all you're doing is fighting enemy targets and the police forces of a hostile government.
I guess you can say that. I mean,
you know, sure, you can extract that type of a thing by reading from the Bible, but that it's still, yes, the government as an institution is constantly attacking you. So, you know, anybody could claim any retaliation against that institution as self-defense when it comes to, you know, the non-aggression principle. I take it a little bit further than that, and I just go, it has to be direct harm for me to defend myself. Right now,
what's going on? Yeah,
I take some other precautions to defend myself from attack from, you know, the institutionalized versions of these government agencies, you know, IRS, FBI, CIA, you know, all these, you know, TSA, whatever. Right, I take steps, you know, to insulate myself or to prevent myself from interacting as much as possible with these agencies so that I'm not directly attacked. But I still think the answer is not violence. The answer is getting a bunch of freedom people together together in a geographic area where we can just declare our independence and live free.
You know, I think it's important to note that we can't really, like, we're comparing apples to oranges here. Like, being a freedom-minded person and wanting to, like, defend yourself against the state or... you know, break away from the institution, whatever you want to do, and being a mentally ill person who wants to harm people and just shoot up random shopping malls.
And wasn't he a former military guy?
I'm not sure. Well, I don't know the details.
Supposedly, I don't.
I mean, maybe, probably. So now we're putting, like, PTSD into the mix, probably. So all I know is this is a rather new occurrence. The first mass shooting I can think of is probably Columbine.
What's going on here, I think people view that we, the people of the United States, somehow are operating the government and therefore the wrongdoings of the government.
No, I just can't accept that. The people
going to have to pay the price.
The people who are doing these mass shootings of, like, Walmarts and, you know, schools are not, like, freedom-minded people.
Right.
Like, that's not why they're doing this. So, I mean, it sounds like, Tom, you're kind of, like, projecting your thoughts and feelings onto these people, and I want you to be really careful about doing that because, like, you have to remember these are violent, mentally ill people who want to cause harm to others, to complete strangers. It's completely ill-placed. It's a real slippery slope you're kind of going down here. I don't want to be grouped with these people as a freedom-minded person. Right. Whoever this guy was, I doubt he was trying to act out against the establishment or the government. I think he had something mentally wrong with him. You know, maybe he had PTSD. Maybe he was on psych meds or whatever. Maybe he was being coached by the FBI. Who knows? It could be, you know, a conspiracy theory too. But that wasn't his, you know, plea for freedom.
It doesn't seem like
know what I mean? And it's different.
Hey, Tom, thank you for the call, man. We appreciate it. 603-283-6160.
I just don't know why we have to always get with the violent. You know what I mean? Like, every time he calls, he's like, let's, you know, it's like, yeah, this is like a liability.
I get that some people have had it, right? They've had enough, and they feel back into a corner.
Absolutely,
and they don't know what to do. You know what I mean? And that's usually when bad decisions are made. When you're backed into a corner and you feel like you have no recourse, that's when bad decisions are made. Just a quick scan of this article from CBS News. Who was Robert Card? Confirmed details. He was 40 years old. He was from Bowdoin, Maine. I'm probably mispronouncing
that. Did he have a middle name?
Near Lewiston. Doesn't say at this point. He did have a military background. He was enlisted, at least in the Army Reserves. Had an active military ID. He had a history of mental health issues. He had access to firearms, of course, et cetera, and so on. So that is about all we know at this point. 603-283-6160. We'll talk more about the Florida Man Games, plus our number two story. Still to come. It's Free Talk Live.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Israeli forces are now in the second phase of their war against Hamas.
Israel starting the second phase of the war to wipe out Hamas terrorists, the IDF. Israeli Defense Forces warning citizens in northern Gaza to get out now and head south for food and water.
Former President Trump came out swinging last night in Las Vegas, calling President Biden a crook who's seeking to imprison him.
Until he indicted me, I never talked this way. But now I say gloves are off, you know. He started a precedent.
The former president continues to enjoy a sizable lead in most GOP polls for president. The Texas Rangers wasted no time tying the World Series game one apiece Saturday night, handing the Arizona Diamondbacks a 9-1 loss in Arlington, Texas. Game three is slated for Monday night in Phoenix. Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Nikki,
I can't get any lower than that.
Can we go online right now, see if you can find some vocal lessons?
What
did I do with all that
money? That was good.
I can't hit that note.
You either need to smoke cigarettes
or have some of that Galliano.
Or
that'll do it.
Which off-grid okay. Angie says it tastes like licorice and it's delicious.
Black licorice?
Like Sambuca?
I don't know.
You're like Jägermeister.
Why is it yellow?
I haven't had any of that stuff. I did have Zambuco.
Yeah.
Zambuco once? That's awful.
Jägermeister.
Yeah.
Jägermeister tastes like black licorice.
Yeah.
But with a little bit of a sting, right? It's got alcohol.
I never had that.
I used to drink a bunch of it.
I like Jäger.
But
mix it with some Red Bull.
It's also, Jäger bombs.
Yeah. That'll give you a... It's terrible night.
It's also, it'll give you a good night. It'll give you a terrible morning.
Yeah.
Jägermeister is also why I hate black licorice now.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's why a lot of people don't like tequila.
And like black jelly beans.
Why don't you like tequila? Yeah. Well, one time when I was in college. Okay, you don't have to finish the story. That's it.
I'm weird like that. Like, I know friends of mine who, like, if they drink tequila, they get mean and violent.
Yeah, it does weird stuff to people.
And all that kind of thing. But, like, if I drink tequila, I turn into a hippie. I'm like, oh, I love you, man. I love everybody. Give me a hug, right? Like, I don't, that violent, mean thing doesn't, even when I'm drinking whiskey, that doesn't come through.
Oh, yeah. Well, whiskey's a whole different thing.
Like, I don't,
especially,
you know,
scotch. I mean, you're just like,
maybe
that's,
I just
like chill time.
Maybe I just don't have the disposition, the personality for that meanness. You would think I would, being the life that I've had. And
well,
like,
I think if you're drinking Jack Daniels, maybe that puts you into that.
I can't drink Jack or Jim anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like just.
You've evolved.
Yes, but also I've noticed that the flavor is too robotic for me. Right? And what do I mean by that? Yeah. Well, you know how you go to any McDonald's anywhere on planet Earth, and a Big Mac tastes like a Big Mac?
Yeah, it's very factory produced.
So you can open one bottle of Jack Daniels or Jim Beam and taste it, sniff it, open another bottle from a completely different area of the country.
10 years, made 10 years ago.
Open it, sniff it, taste it. It's identical.
Right. You'd think even like the water that they use would be different,
like,
right?
They have their,
or but they all come from the same factory, perhaps?
Yeah, they have their recipe and process down so far that, like, it's almost too identical for me.
Right.
When you drink something like a 12-year scotch, 15-year scotch, or even I've been drinking what they call single pot still Irish whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Red breast. Green spot. There's another one. There's another one I can't remember.
It's boutique-y.
But, like, from bottle to bottle, it doesn't taste exactly the same. There's
batch to batch.
Yeah, there's slight variances in it, you know.
Yeah.
You buy a bottle of it one day, you buy a bottle of it, you know, 2 years from now. It's not quite the same. It's
not exactly.
You know, and also it's, like, made better because it's aged and all that kind of stuff, so it tastes different. Whereas Jack Daniels and Jim Beam are literally just factory.
Yeah,
just, it's the fast food of booze.
Right.
And so I can't drink that crap.
Yeah.
Like, Jameson to me now is bottom shelf.
Wow.
Right? That's where I start. Right? Like, anything below that, I'm like, eh.
Wait, you just like flexing on everybody or what?
I'm old and I've acquired taste, apparently.
Exactly.
I have preferences.
You've got to be a certain age to drink whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have preferences.
Or scotch, especially.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
tequila,
discriminatory.
Tequila is easy to get into when you're young.
To kill you.
But scotch, I think you got to be at least 40 years old to enjoy scotch.
Well, speaking of crap, let's go to Turd Ferguson calling from wherever the heck you're at, Turd.
Yeah, guys. So check this out. I'm reading this book right now called
The
Deficit. Yeah, well, I read a lot. It's called The Deficit Myth: Modern Monetary Theory and the Birth of the People's Economy. It's by someone named Stephanie Kelton. And this is like the stupidest book I've ever read. I mean, this book is just terrible. It's like a bunch of let's hold hands and sing kumbaya bullcrap. I'm like barely halfway through this book, and I've just got hundreds of notes and highlights here. And I mean, I don't think I've gone 2 pages of this book without highlighting something stupid or that didn't make sense or was just plain wrong.
Do you do that when you're watching TV too? You're watching a crappy TV show. You're like, oh, this show sucks. Let me make some notes. Let me, you know, put a 3-ring binder together and take, you know, do you do that?
TV is for broke beta males. So I never watch TV, but, so this is what really confuses me about this book, because she seems to be inherently confused about what causes inflation, from what I can tell. And we know, she seems to think it's this like weird combination of potentially aggregate demand and government spending and all this nonsense. And then she proposes to deal with inflation by maybe raising taxes or something. So, like, basically her solution for a painful period of inflation for people is to make things more painful for them.
That just sounds like a college textbook.
Harvard educated.
Yeah, it basically is. I mean, it's basically a college textbook written by a really stupid person. But here's what I don't understand. Because this person actually does teach college economics, by the way.
Oh, jeez.
And
we're doomed.
We don't have to guess that the money supply and expansion of it is what causes inflation, because we know through the realized inflation versus predicted inflation data from the Fed using the equation of exchange, we know that that the money supply causes inflation because the data matches. I mean, the numbers on the graph match up.
Yeah.
So that's mathematical empirical proof that the money supply causes inflation. I don't understand how these college professors can, like, see this data and know about the equation of exchange and quantity theory of money and then but just be like, no, like I don't believe it. Like that's the part that really doesn't make sense to me. You know what I mean?
They're getting paid to lie, maybe. You know what another word for the other word for inflation? You know what another word for inflation is? Growth.
No, thing.
Growth.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, hey, we're growing the economy, which basically means...
We're inflating.
Yeah, we're inflating. Exactly. Oh, it's growth. It's right. Good.
Right, exactly.
Negative
and,
growth.
Yeah, and well, yeah, and GDP and money velocity and money supply are the only things based on the mathematically speaking that affect inflation at all. So
yeah, so this book is it's funny. Yeah, what's the name of the book again, Turd?
It's called The Deficit Myth: Modern Monetary Theory and the Birth of the People's Economy. It's by 70,000. I heard about this book from the Majority Report, that show on YouTube. It's Sam Cedar's show, I guess. And by the way,
thought you didn't watch TV.
It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
What's the difference between a TV show and a YouTube show?
YouTube's on the internet. But check
television's on the internet.
We're on the internet. Are we a radio show?
Good point. Okay, so what I'd like, and I guess Ian and Mark did debate Sam Cedar a long time ago, but you guys should invite him back on the show to debate, because he won't take my call, from what I can tell. Like I call his show, and then I spend like two or three hours on hold, and he never takes the call.
Can't imagine why he wouldn't want to talk to you.
Well, to his credit of his staff, Emma Vigeland actually has taken my call. She's hung up in the middle of my call both times I've ever talked to her. I guess she can't refute what I'm saying, or she just hates me. But she actually, to her credit, has taken my call. But Sam Cedar won't. And it would be nice for you guys to have him on your show so I can call in and ask him about the equation of exchange and quantity theory of money, because I'd like to know what his thoughts are about that.
Hey, Turd.
Thanks
for the call, man.
you're hanging up on him. He's completely...
LRN.FM.
There's the dump button.
Yep.
Hang on, nobody can hear us yet. I'm going to wait for it to... People should be able to hear us again. I just wanted to get, you know, when Turd calls, I like to flush him out.
Yeah, you know how you like pour one out for the homies? Yeah. Like, oh, okay. That's what we do for a flush.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you can't go around with a name like Turd Ferguson and not get flushed, right? So,
kind of asking.
Coming up,
for
our
it.
Number two
although,
story.
Although I will say.
That actually was our number two story.
That was the number two. So now we got three number two stories.
And we didn't talk about it during the break either.
We didn't.
I will say that, first of all, MMT, Modern Monetary Theory, it's just that, it's theory. Near as I can tell, the author of the book Turd mentioned is what they call a Keynesian economist. So Robert Keynes.
I told you, a college professor.
Yes, Robert Keynes is the...
paid to lie.
I don't know why he's the reigning economist, because he's wrong. But here's what helped me grasp the economy, right? When you start talking to people like, so what do you know about the economy? People are like,
the stock market is good.
Right. And most people just don't know. They don't get into it. They don't, you know, research this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're correct. They don't need to. Here's all you need to know about economics. Supply and demand.
Right. I need something. You're selling something. I'll buy it.
That's it. That's all you need to know. Everything else is hogwash. Right? If somebody's trying to tell you that, oh, well, you see, we have to have inflation and we have to have taxation.
Right. We're going to grow our way out of it.
No, they're full of crap. You don't need any of that stuff. What you need is to get the heck out of the way, specifically government, and let the market do its job. The market will take care of all of the problems that it encounters by itself. It is the most beautiful creation. It is an extension of the network effect. We've already seen the network effect improve our lives by, you know, 10, 20, 100 times, whatever it is, whether it's the telegraph or the internet, right? These are all extensions of the network effect, all extensions of the market. The market is just human beings transacting with each other for their mutual benefit.
Right.
And if there's no mutual benefit, then a deal's not made. And so that's really all you need to know about economics.
Right. It reminds me of the story you were talking about, the fax machine. Like, one fax machine can't do anything. Two fax machines can just do two things. But when you do three fax, like, it started with, I think you had a story about fax machines and the effect of the more people that have these things, the more communication that can happen.
Right. It was about
the fax machine.
It was about the numbers, right? The telephone numbers
or
themselves.
Or maybe the telephone numbers.
Right, yeah. So what happens is the more devices that get invented that require a phone number, the more phone numbers that need to exist. And so at some point, the phone companies ran out of numbers.
Right.
Because of pagers and faxes and cell phones and, you know, all that kind of a thing. And so they had to start doing what they call area code splits. So if you live in, we're in New Hampshire 603, right? Now, New Hampshire's not populated enough for them to have done a split here.
Unless everyone has two pagers.
But if they ever did, if they ever did need to do an area code split, they would probably just separate, we'll call it the greater Manchester area.
Right,
that whole southeastern corner of New Hampshire where
Boston's trash
where
can.
The city is, where all the city folk are,
right.
And that would be its own area code, and then the rest of New Hampshire would remain 603.
Right,
and so now they'd have a whole other.
No, I think it would be the other way around.
They'd have a whole. Well, maybe it would. I don't know. But either way, they'd have a whole new area code and a whole new bank of, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 digit, you know, numbers combinations to choose from.
Right.
Once they do issue a new area code, so yeah, it creates problems. Having devices with numbers. And so now there's like, you know, there's Google Voice, there's all these VoIP companies doing phones and phone stuff, and there's numbers that businesses can buy that, you know, only that people can, like you and I, can text into, and it's fielded by a call center full of customer service reps or whatever, right? And they can respond to those, right, in a group way through like a ticketing system that's unknown to anyone on the other side. You think you're talking to Bob at such and such company, but you're talking to like Greg, who has a pseudonym because he doesn't want his real name used on his job or whatever, right?
Right.
Because he's got a stalker from 5 years ago or something, right? You know, and like, and maybe he only picks up half the conversation before his shift is over and somebody else pipes in, finishes the conversation for him, all unknown to you.
But how do you text, like, text this word to this 5-digit number? Where does that go?
To that number.
Well,
a lot
who
of
has
automated,
the number? Who has
right?
the number 5173? Yeah. I mean, this is just a text forwarding to a.
So usually what that is I'm not sure how they get away with doing like a less than 10-digit number.
Yeah, it's kind
of
weird.
The only way I know of to get around that is to do a non-area code number, which means your marketing has to be targeted at an area that is only going to text that from that area. So in 603 New Hampshire, right, the advertiser would only be advertising to people in New Hampshire.
Gotcha. Right?
But I don't know. Like, I've seen that on, like, nationally televised programs, too. They're like, to vote, text, blah, blah, to 7172.
Right.
And you're like,
okay. Whose phone number is 7172?
Yeah. So,
I want that phone number.
I think these are things that you can just buy from certain providers that will allow you to do that one time or, you know, that kind of a thing.
603-555.
Oh, man, the 555s is, yeah, that's an interesting one. They developed that specifically for TV and film.
Yeah.
So that, you know, folks wouldn't call actual phone numbers,
right?
So the phone companies got together and said, hey, let's just use 555, and nobody ever issued phone numbers with 555. And they're like, oh, okay. So you'll never see a fax machine or a cell number or whatever with, like, area code and then 555, right? And then 4 digits after that.
I think I'm going to start doing that. I'm just going to tell what's your phone number? 603-555. Telemarketer, hey, what's your phone number?
So anyway, let's get back to this.
The captain continues.
Let's get back to this Florida man bit, because I want to know more about these Florida man games. So if you tuned in our first segment, you would know that we're talking about this article from the AP. First ever Florida man games will feature beer belly wrestling and evading arrest obstacle course. Organizers of the Florida Man Games describe the competition as the most insane athletic showdown on earth.
Whoa.
This isn't just a competition. It's a one-of-a-kind Floridian spectacle.
Spectacle. I love that. I love a good spectacle, you know?
As if Florida isn't a spectacle enough, right? Just even having this legendary Florida man be associated with it. Can you imagine if, like, there was, like, a New Hampshire man, you know, or any other state.
Yeah,
right?
What would you? It's like skiing,
beard growing.
You know what state I never hear about? Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's a place, huh?
I never hear about.
So
that.
I was actually thinking about this the other day because I sometimes like looking at maps. I don't know. I'm kind of a nerd, so I do stuff like that sometimes. And I'm looking at like the central United States, and I'm just like, What is it like to live in Kansas?
Oh, flyover country? Yeah. It's all square.
Like,
it's
flat. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, all
square
over there.
And flat.
Like,
yeah.
Is there anything there?
Tornadoes.
Corn fields.
Sweet. And ranches.
So,
and there's a couple of cities, right?
Yeah.
Every state's got a couple.
And it's like you have to drive like 2 hours to get anywhere.
In a straight line.
Super rural. In a straight line, that would drive me crazy.
I've had the mispleasure of driving through Montana several times.
Oh, but I bet it's beautiful, though, right?
It's just exactly what we're describing Kansas like. It's flat.
Really?
It's flat. It's boring.
Big sky state.
It's the exact same scenery forever.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to be like a really beautiful place.
Montana is like the longest state
to
drive through.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
From
it looks
east
like
to
it.
West or west to east or whatever. Yeah, it's the like when you leave. Like I had to drive. Yeah, I had to drive from Seattle to Minneapolis on a number of occasions when I lived in Seattle, and so holy crap! Like you leave Seattle and you get into the rest of Washington State, which kind of looks like Montana. They got three seasons on eastern Washington, the two-thirds of it that aren't on the other side of the mountains.
Yeah.
And so, but it only takes like 6 hours or something to get across Washington State. So then you get into Idaho, and it takes like 30 minutes to get through just that one tip
part
of Idaho.
Yeah, it's a skinny
part. And you're like, oh, I've already made it through two states. This is wonderful. And then you hit Montana.
It's like 12 hours.
And that's most of your trip.
Yeah.
Right? You don't get to cross another state line for like 2 days or something, right? And depending on what you're, the last time I went through, not the last time, the first time I went through, I hit Montana at daybreak, and Montana has these speed limit signs that say, speed limit, night, 65, and that's it. I don't know if it's still there, but they had no daytime speed limit.
They're like, you're not supposed to drive through here during the day.
Yeah, so
I drive at night.
No, I hit Montana at daybreak. I had just fueled up as I got into Montana at the border. And so I just stepped on the gas.
Yeah, you're like, oh, sweet, there's no speed limit anymore.
I was driving like a 1985 Chevy Citation, and like the speedometer only went up to 85. So like, I have no idea how fast I was going. I buried that needle.
And it still took you 2 days.
It still and it was boring. I only stopped to like use the John and grab some snacks.
Yeah.
Maybe some trucker speed.
You know what? I think there's a lot of states like that where if you're just on the interstate, it's like, wow, this is like... do the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get off and you kind of go to some of the,
the byways,
sites and, you look around and do something else, some maybe touristy stuff or whatever, go on a hike, it's actually probably quite beautiful. Because I always heard that Montana was beautiful. But maybe, I don't know what route you were taking, but...
I've driven through it several times.
Bad review from Captain.
And I also took a train through it as well.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, well, I'm on the train this time. Maybe I'll just sit at the window or in the dining car or whatever and, like, I'll just watch the beautiful Montana scenery as it goes by.
And there wasn't?
Days.
It's like a
and
cartoon.
No,
it was the same thing.
I swear to God, it was the same thing, just rolling back and forth. Same tree would go by, same
you
hill.
You start to question your existence. Yeah, you're like, am I really here?
Is the train going in circles?
Is this an illusion?
And then finally you get into one of the Dakotas or whatever. And, yeah. So.
I mean, I couldn't see, North Dakota being better.
Have you ever flown over the United States during daylight, like West Coast to... the East Coast or something like that.
Oh, yeah. But usually south, though. I'm usually going to, like, Mexico or, like, Southern California, like, somewhere in that pocket. I've never been to the Pacific.
The Pacific Northwest.
Could you be more Pacific?
But, yeah, I've never been up there, so whenever I'm flying over... it's
never
normally
heard anybody mix those
diagonal.
Up that's pretty sweet. Usually most people are like,
can you be more Pacific?
Yeah.
No.
I lived in the Pacific Northwest for 22 years.
I can be dumb in very unique ways. I pride myself on that.
You create new and unique ways to be dumb?
Yep.
it's a
skill.
Nikki. We love you, man. You're not going anywhere.
Nope.
You can't dumb your way out of this job.
Nope.
What if there's a Florida...
That's how I got this job.
I know how you blondes work.
There's a Florida woman contest. Maybe.
A Florida woman. Named Nikki, what? No, oh, sorry. The Florida man concept crept into the nation's consciousness a decade ago. I think it's been more than a decade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
With the @FloridaMan Twitter account.
I
don't know
that
if that was the start of it. Maybe
Was
Twitter 10 years old? Is it still a thing?
Oh, it has to be older than that.
Yeah, Florida Man has to be way older than that.
Well,
do you
Twitter,
remember,
too, has
do you
to be older
the,
than that.
The website Imgur, Imgur, I-M-G-U-R?
Yeah, they probably still have that, right?
I think it still exists. I haven't been there in a long time. But, like, I remember, like, that's predating Twitter and all that kind of crap, I believe. And they had memes about Florida Man long before there was an at Florida Man Twitter account.
Yeah.
But, at any rate, the account with the tagline, Real Life Stories of the World's Worst Superhero, has been home to headlines such as, Florida man firebombs garage that impounded his car, hits his own vehicle, and Florida man tried to pay for McDonald's with weed.
Actually, that's not a bad idea because, like, look at
probably
the people.
Probably
holds
its value.
Yeah, way better. And look at the people that work at McDonald's. I mean, they're like, I'll take that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You think that, like, 16-year-old kid doesn't want your gram of weed for a McChicken? They sure do.
Yeah, they probably do. General admission tickets to the event are going for $45.
Really?
So that you know, a Florida man can afford them.
So a Florida man can afford them.
Two former stars of the 1990s television show American Gladiators have agreed to serve as referees.
Wow.
Oh, that's good.
A St. Augustine resident is behind the games, Pete Melfi, M-E-L-F-I. Owner of the 904 Now, a media outlet covering St. John's County. We thought, how can we really play on these Florida Man headlines that we hear so much about? Someone gave me the idea to make it into an athletic competition, Melfi told the Orlando Sentinel. It's going to be a wild day of mud games and Florida-style obstacle courses. It's going to really be an opportunity to live that Florida Man life for a day.
Wow.
Cool.
They should have like a hurricane machine, too, that you have to hold on to a stop sign while the thing is.
I wonder if we can do like a remote, you know, show or have somebody go down there.
Reporting
live from Florida Man
Games.
Yeah. I'm here on the scene, Captain, at the Florida Man competition. You know, we're watching the evading arrest competition right now.
There are two real police officers. They're asking me questions.
Oh man, you know, would be even better. Mini Florida Man.
Oh!
Fun size. I believe fun size is the politically correct term.
Not midgets.
No.
Fun size wrestling?
I saw midget wrestling, so I didn't see fun size wrestling.
But it was fun.
It was fun, yeah. 603-283-6160. More Fruit Talk Live is coming up, including a number two story. We'll figure out which one and hopefully have it for you soon.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.